I have to tell you, this has been a fun, interesting, I won't say fun week. I will say this has been a fun study. I don't know that my week was a lot of fun, but my study in God's Word this week was a lot of fun and opened my eyes to some really, really cool things. We're doing this study right now, and I forgot my book, the Alter Ego Study. No, that's all right. It's the Alter Ego Study that we started last week here at the church. It's a small group study. And also something that's kind of focusing our church together, kind of studying the same thing and seeing how God is going to use that scripture and those different things to advance his kingdom and his word. And last week, if you remember, what we were looking at, is that not working? There we go. Is it on? Okay. What we were looking at is overcoming the labels. Alter ego is all about being who God calls us to be or being what God calls us to be. And one of the first things we have to do is understand that we are not what people say we are. This last week, we're looking at all the different labels that people in society and we put on ourselves. And those labels are not who we are, okay? Some might people say, you know, you're smart. Well, that's a part of who you are, or you're all these negative things or all these or positive things. That's not who you are. You are who God says you are. Not all these labels that the world wants to put on us, good and bad. Because a lot of times we'll use those labels as an excuse to really being who God called us to be. So who is it? This is where we're at this week for our study. Who is it that God calls us to be? Or what is it that God calls us to be? Because that's important to know. What does God say that you are? Who does God say that you are? I can put it very simply in one word. God calls you his masterpiece. His masterpiece. He loves you and he formed you. He called you his masterpiece. If you have your Bibles, look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I've used this passage a lot, but we're going to read it again. For we are God's, and it says workmanship here, but that idea of workmanship, for we are God's workmanship, it's that masterpiece is in that same thing. It's not just workmanship, it's God's handiwork. We are what he has formed, what we've made. We are God's creation. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you're a masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. You are a masterpiece. That's the truth of who God says you are, how he looks at you, how he looks down and he says, wow, that's my masterpiece. That's my glory. That's my boy. That's my girl. The problem is, because of the labels, we don't feel that way, do we? If I'm a masterpiece, something's really messed up. There's something wrong. Because I don't feel like a masterpiece. I don't look like a masterpiece. I sure don't act like a masterpiece. There's a problem here. And you're right. There is, because you're not a masterpiece unless Christ is in you. See, we all started off. I got a whole bunch of things behind the curtain over here. Nothing on the table. But I'm going to use the table. This isn't how we started off. We weren't a table. But this is how we started off. This is how the masterpiece starts off. It's in this bowl. This is how the masterpiece that God created starts off. You know what it is? It's dust. Yeah, this is dust. This is the beginning of the masterpiece. You know why I say that? Because in Genesis chapter 2, it says very plainly and very clearly, and I've never thought about this completely in this way, but it starts off right here in chapter 2 when it says, for this reason, oh, that's the wrong one. Chapter 2 says this in verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So we started off this masterpiece that God is creating in you and in me and in every single one of us. It starts off as dust, like this.
See, I got a whole cup of, not a whole cup, but a little bowl of dust. Pretty cool. But it's not, this is going to get messy today. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's not, we're not just dust, because you see, there's all this dust that comes together. And when you get all the dust together and you compact it, it becomes this. It's this. This is a bunch of dust that's been collected together, okay? It's this. And it's, this is dirt collected together, or clay collected together. And it's just dry, and it's not very pretty. I mean, I'm a masterpiece. Woo! Is that a masterpiece? In today's world, in some art shows, you know what? That might be a masterpiece in some of the art galleries. Some of the stuff I've seen, Kathy's made me go to those art galleries once in a while, and I'm like, we were just talking about that yesterday. She drags me to these art galleries, and we go through and we look at all the paintings and all the sculptures and stuff like that, and she's like, oh, and taking notes, and I'm like, yep, that's cool. Yep, that's cool. Well, that's good. Yep. Oh, I like, yep. Yep, that's good. Let's go. A masterpiece? I don't know that this is a masterpiece. Looks like a bunch of dried up clay. So how does this become a masterpiece? There's something really interesting that goes on in the Word of God that I never had really recognized completely before. In order for this to become a masterpiece, in order for God to use it and mold it and shape it and use it how he wants to in Jeremiah, take a look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18. You've all heard this verse, I'm sure. Jeremiah 18, verse 2, he says, in verse 1, it says, this is the word that came down to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I give you a message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best. And the word of the Lord came to me. He says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as a potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. So how do we go from the dust? How do we go from the dust into the clay? What do we have to add to get dust into clay? You guys are way ahead of me. Go behind the curtain once again. Do-do-do-do. This is where it's starting to get dangerous. So in order to get the dust into moldable clay, into the potter's hand, we have to add some water. Look at this, how quickly that happened. Look at it. See how it's no longer dust. Can you see that back there? Here, you want to see it? See how it's no longer dust? It's becoming moldable and shapeable. It's not mud. It's clay. It's clay. Even in Job, he says, we are but clay in the master's hands. We're formed from clay. These houses of clay. God starts to form us and shape us and mold us. So what is that water? Now, the water is important, because without the water, it's just dust. You guys get that? It has to have water. So what is this water? There's something really interesting when you start looking through Scripture. I knew this was going to get messy. I didn't realize it was going to be quite this sticky. There's something interesting that's going on in Scripture when it talks about this water. Take a look with me in John. In John chapter 3. John chapter 3, you have this wonderful guy. Is this right? John chapter 3. No. Yes, John chapter 3. I'm arguing with myself. It never comes out well. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is trying to figure out what's going on. He came to him at night. And he came in, and he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. In verse 4 and verse 5, he says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless, listen to this, no one can be molded, nobody can be shaped, nobody can become the masterpiece of God unless he was born of water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. So there's a cleansing. There's a cleansing. And also there's a Spirit. Now, if you take a look with me in John chapter 4, in the next page on my Bible, John chapter 4, verse 10, he's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And he says, if you knew the gift of God who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He would have given you living water. You know what that living water is? Take a look in John chapter 7. This living water that gives us life, that springs from inside. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. If anyone is thirsty, 37 it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant what? Look what it says. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, the Spirit, the living water, not just the water of baptism of repentance, but the living water, the water that continually affects our lives, the water that continually sustains our lives in Christ, is the Holy Spirit living in us. It's the water that continues to allow the dust to be formable and shapeable and moldable. You see, the Holy Spirit is an aspect of our life that we need to have on a constant basis in our lives so God can mold us and make us as the potter into the masterpiece that he designed us to be. But what happens is we allow that Holy Spirit to come into us, but at some point in time, we start to diverge away from it. We start to get the Holy Spirit out of our life. There's a slide up there. Show me that slide. Ding! Okay. Here's what's going on. We accept Christ, okay? He adds the Holy Spirit water into our lives. He starts to mold us and make us. And God, just like it says in Ephesians, God has saved us, all right? He is our masterpiece. He saved us to do good works that he had planned in advance for us to do. So this is God's plan for our life. Right here, we get the moment of salvation. He adds the water of the Holy Spirit into our life so that he can mold us and make us. And he's preparing us for these good works, all these things that he has for us to do. It's a narrow path. It's not a great big wide path. It's a narrow path of the way that he wants us to live and the things that we want us to do. But what happens is normally we make it about, if you can see the little squares up here, there's like one little tiny, we make it about one square. Right when the Holy Spirit enters, we're right on the right path. But as soon as that happens, it seems like all of a sudden, not only is that Holy Spirit there, but we still have our own sinful desires and we start to diverge off of this path. Now it's not give me the next slide. It's not a line that just goes, we don't go from right here and just completely divert away from God and go the opposite direction. We don't all of a sudden, we accept Christ and say, okay, I accepted Christ, now I'm going to go be as evil as I can possibly be. We don't do that. Nobody does that, I hope, all right? So it's not like this about turn that we just take off and start going. But there's that song, it's a slow fade. You know what I'm saying? It's a slow fade. We're on the path just for that brief moment, and literally within minutes, maybe within hours, within days, we start diverging our life away from the exact path that God wants us to. And nobody follows that path exactly, okay? Nobody does. But we start diverging our life away from God. And the longer that happens, the longer we deny that Holy Spirit leading and teaching and urging and I don't want to say pushing, but that Holy Spirit leading in our life, living not by the Spirit, but living by our flesh, the more that we do that, the further we get away from God's design for our life. And what happens? What happens? I'm going back behind the curtain again. What happens? This is so, I don't know if Reagan's here or not, but I got a witness. This is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. This right here, this was a pliable, this I might as well bring out everything. This was a part of this last night at 7 o'clock. This is moldable, makeable clay right here. Completely pliable, completely ready to go. This right here, last night at 7 o'clock, was a part of this wad. I took this little ball out just last night at 7 o'clock. Tried to break that apart. Tried to do anything with that little piece of clay. There's moisture in there. If you can get inside of it, go ahead, you can just pass it around. If you can get inside of it, there's moisture in there. It's still pliable probably somewhere inside. But as soon as we start diverging from that Holy Spirit's guidance into our life, all of a sudden we start hardening just a little bit, okay? Our lives start to harden. And the longer we allow that to go on, if we let that go for days and days, it would be as rock solid as could be. The further we get on this line, the harder we become. And what God says to us, what he wants us to do, he wants us to do this little word called repent. He wants us to repent from this hardness, from this getting away from the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. He wants us to repent and turn back to him. But see, what happens in a lot of our eyes and a lot of our minds, we think that repentance is, I've gotten all the way to this point, so now I have to turn around. So now I'm right here, so now I got to go like this. And I got to go all the way back to get to the line. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is not turning around. Repentance isn't turning up and going this way. Repentance isn't even the idea of, okay, I'm going to draw a line in the sand right now, and now I'm going to start my line back down to where God's line is at. That's not repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is this. Repentance is at one point in time, next slide. Repentance is at one point in time in your life, you take the shortest, you know what the shortest distance between two points is? A straight line. Repentance is going from where you're at and turning to God. Not turning back to relive everything, because that's what we like to do. We like to re-wallow in our mess. And that doesn't, see how long that path is? To re-wallow in our mess? And it doesn't mean to turn this way or to turn that way or to divert myself down. Repentance means to turn to God. Turn your eyes on God. Bring your life back to his line. And you know what happens when we bring our life back to his line? He adds water. Last night, this is really going to get messy. Last night, Reagan and I took a piece of clay about this big that was out of this, came off this thing, and we broke it into little pieces, just kind of like what I did here, only smaller pieces. And that's a great illustration, because you know how we get water back into this clay? I could take that. Did you get it broke apart? You got a knife, don't you? Give me that. Put the knife away. Now. I don't know where you got that, but I can see blood running all over the front of this place. Okay, so if I take this and I just drop it in the water, okay, I drop it in the water, you know how long it's going to take for that water to penetrate back into that chunk of clay? Okay, it's the same thing here. You know what? It seems like when God wants us to get back on that path, when he's really calling us, he breaks us. He breaks us into little pieces. He breaks apart the life that we've tried to build for ourselves and the hardness of our life. He breaks it up into pieces, and then he adds water. And that's what I did. That's what's in here. This is going to be really messy. This is going to be really messy. He takes all those little pieces, and he adds water, and it gets gooey. It gets wet and moldable. I mean, very moldable. You know, the further he breaks us down and allows the Holy Spirit to get in, the more moldable we can become. If he took the big chunks and we just threw the big chunks in the water, it's going to take a long time for that water to penetrate. But when God breaks us down, when he breaks us down, you see how moldable that is? You see how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives? How receptive we are to what he's wanting to do? That's how God wants to work. He would rather we just follow the line. What would you think, Nathan, if I just went like this? He wants us to follow that line. But you know what? When we get so far off that line, he breaks us down. Because we're still his masterpiece. He still loves us. He breaks us down so that we can be moldable again. And he can use us in amazing ways. Now this is going to get messy. Why did I do that? He's going to break us down so the penetration of the Holy Spirit can get back into our lives, and he can take us to where he wants us to be and do the things, the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. So many times we resist. We resist that breaking down. We think, oh God, why is he doing this to me? Look at Job. He's like, Lord, why are you breaking me down? Why are you tearing me down? What did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong? You know what? You might have not done anything wrong, but God is getting ready to take you to a new place in your walk. He's trying to get you diverted back onto the path that he designed for you. Maybe he just wants you to be in a moldable position for what's coming next in your life. You see, he is a potter, and you are the clay. He wants to mold you and make you into an incredible masterpiece. One that he can use like a tool in his hand. He wants you to be pliable and usable. See if I can get this open. By the way, this is a little side note. I think I'm about to do an advertisement. I'm going to do a little advertisement. I got all this. I didn't know anything about clay. If you haven't noticed, I'm not an artist. I don't know much about it. And I was doing all my Bible study this week and looking at all these things about how water is added to clay and stuff like this. And so yesterday I went on a little fact-finding mission, and I went to this place called Annie's Pots. Is that right? Someone help me out. Annie's Pots in Princeton, right next to the Chinese buffet there on the north end of town. And I walked into this gal's store, never knew her, never met her. My wife goes in there once in a while, and I just said, hey, there was no one there. And I said, hey, I'd like to pick your brain for a little bit. And she looked at me like, woo. I said, I want to learn about clay. And this woman, literally for probably 30 or 40 minutes, took me into the back room and showed me clay, explained clay to me. And so this is a piece of clay that she gave me. All this is stuff that she gave me. I'm going to give this to my wife, because she's artistic, and I'm going to have her make a masterpiece for us while I'm talking here. A masterpiece now. I'm talking something amazing, all right? It was so cool because I was trying to explain to, I'm assuming her name is Annie since it's called Annie's Pots. I was trying to explain to Annie what I was doing and stuff like that, and it was like an aha. I mean, it was literally like an aha moment for both of us as she was explaining how clay works, how it dries and how it breaks up and how it crumbles and how the water is added and the kneading and all this other stuff, and how water is not just, oh, this is so cool. It gives me goosebumps. Water is not just the agent that makes it moldable, but water is also the bonding agent. Water is also the bond. You can have two pieces of clay. I could take this piece of clay and that piece of clay. I'm not going to get my hands all messy again. But I can take those two pieces of clay, and as they're drying, I can take water, just plain water, and put between them and stick them together, and it's like glue. Now think about that in the masterpieces. God is forming your masterpiece. He's molding and making you into your masterpiece. At one point in time, he's going to take your masterpiece and my masterpiece that he created in me. He's going to take all these masterpieces and he's going to put them together. Through the Holy Spirit, we're going to be joined as one body. The church as a whole around the world, we're going to be put together into this one magnificent, incredible, amazing masterpiece that brings God full glory. Because the reason that he created each one of these little masterpieces is to bring him glory. To bring him glory. So God is going to mold us if we stay connected to that Holy Spirit. He's going to shape us into what he wants us to be, a masterpiece, an amazing thing. Trouble comes in, and there's always trouble. Have you ever noticed that with me? It seems like I always present the good side, and then I'm always like, but the trouble is, there's always a problem. Because what happens is, so many times, we get those labels mixed in with the plan of God's idea, and we start taking those labels that the world is trying to stick on us, on the masterpiece of God, and we start allowing those labels to redefine who this masterpiece is. We start looking at, I look at Rebecca, or I look at Wesley, and some of these other people in this room, and I think, man, I wish I had that. I wish I could bake a cake and make it look beautiful, Karen. There's no possibility. I could literally work for months practicing, and I would never be able to make a cake look like yours. I could practice. I could practice the piano from now until the Lord comes back, and I would never be able to play the piano like Nathan. You know what I'm saying? I look out throughout this congregation and I see all the gifts that God has molded into each one of you, and it is so tempting to look at you and say, man, if I could just play the piano, or man, if I could just bake a cake, or man, if I could just sing, if I could just do these things. And we start taking the labels and we start putting the negative stuff on us. Instead of looking at the masterpiece that God created us to be, we start looking at the other masterpieces and we start having masterpiece envy. And it doesn't work. We need to be who God created us to be. We need to recognize that God doesn't make any junk. None. It's all good that He makes. And it's amazing to understand also that when God makes a masterpiece, He gives you everything that you need to accomplish the will that He has. As He's created you, as He's formed you, as He's molded you, as He's molded you, He's giving everything you need to walk that line. You don't have to put it back up. To walk that narrow line. The reason I say that is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Did you hear that again? His divine power, the master, has given the pot, the clay, has given us everything. Everyone, say everything with me. Everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and His goodness. In the Greek, you know what everything means? Everything. He's not withholding anything that you need to do the things that He is calling you to do. The good works that He has prepared in advance for you to do, you have it. Now. You just have to be moldable. Allow the Spirit to work in you and through you and around you. You've got it. You are His masterpiece. He loves you. It's amazing. How's the work of art going? Wow. That is beautiful. Isn't that pretty? Now, high schoolers, I know you've been doing the advanced study, so you all be quiet. Understand? Yes? I'm setting you all up here a little bit. I'm just telling you that right now. So this is a masterpiece created by the master's hand. What do we think it is here? What? A what?
Tray.
A tray, yes, a tray. We could put things in it. Yes, what could we put in it? Oh, let's see if it works. I've got some clay here. Yes, it could be it could be the first thing that most kids make in school. It could be did you make an ashtray? No, it's not. It's a tray. Maybe it's a trinket tray. Yeah, I don't know. It's a triangle. It's got some little dots on it. Oh, I wonder if those dots are like for air. It could be maybe a cup. I guess if you're really thirsty, you could drink out of it like this, maybe. Yeah? Yeah, maybe that's it. If you keep kind of molding it a little bit. I wonder what this is. I guess it could be, I don't know. What else do you think it could be?
Kim said it could be a Dorito chip.
A Dorito chip if you get hungry. The colored orange, yes. We could paint it later, yes. What else could this be? Any ideas? A hat? I could wear it as a hat. Yes. Very nice. What else? Any other ideas? What? A turtle shell. Yes, it could be a turtle shell. It could be an oxygen mask. It could be all kinds of different things. We could guess about this, and we could use it, and all. Someone could put something in it. Someone could use it as a hat. Someone could eat it if they choose to, I guess. We could do all kinds of interesting things with it, and we could guess about it all day long, couldn't we, about what this is and how it should be used. But the thing that needs to happen is we need to ask the Creator what it is and how it's supposed to be used. And you see, this is really important because we go through life looking at ourselves thinking, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know I was a masterpiece and I was created for good works to do in advance and all this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you know what I'm supposed to do? What do I look like I'm supposed to do? Do you know? How about you? Do you know? Maybe someone, preacher, do you know what I'm supposed to be? Can you give me a clue? Nathan could look at me and says, yes, you are a doormat. We need someone to park cars when the parking lot gets muddy. You know what? If you want to know what your purpose is, you need to go to the master and say, what am I supposed to be? And you know what happens? When you go to the master, when you go to the potter, and you come to him humbly and saying, Lord, I want to serve you. What do you want me to do? You know what that happens? It puts you in direct contact with the water, with that Holy Spirit. The more you seek him, he says, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. He says, if you come into my presence, if you are there, if you're wanting your purpose in life to be revealed to you, if you come and ask, I will tell you, the living water, the Holy Spirit, will make you so moldable, will make you so pliable, will make you so incredibly supple in God's hands that you can't miss the purpose that God's created for you. You see, it's that time spent with him that reveals his truth and his purpose. So here's the setup. So what is it, Kathy? You're going to have to watch the video to find out. There are a few illustrations in my life that I've read or seen or experienced that have stuck with me. Craig, is that his name? Craig has given me an illustration that I will never ever forget in my life about remembering to go to the master rather than to remember or trying to figure out on my own what I'm supposed to do. You watch the video this week, and I guarantee you, you won't miss what this is. If you aren't part of a group, get in one. If not, you'll find out next week. More than likely, you'll find out before the end of this week what Kathy has created for us at my request. Impacting. God has a purpose for your life. And the neat thing about this is, like in Jeremiah, God can take this that he's created. I'm sorry, honey. But he can fold it again. And he can make something brand new with it if he wants. As long as you're on this earth, God has the right and the ability and the power to reshape. About the only thing I can make is a snake. That's probably not a good illustration, is it? Okay, a hot dog. There, the Dorito theme. A hot dog or a cigar. No, a cigar is probably not the best. God has the ability to reshape and to form you into whatever he chooses. As long as you're on this earth, he can change. He can change your direction of your life at any point in time. If you stay soft, and supple and filled with the water of God's Holy Spirit. This can happen. But remember, in one day, oh, I dropped it in here. Ooh. In one day, you can start to become hard and unchanging. And the longer you go, the harder you become. But all it takes is turning to God and allowing Him to start allowing that Holy Spirit to work back in you. I got one last part of this whole message that I just think is amazing. When John the Baptist was on the earth and he was preparing the way for Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, I got to get this in. I've got time, don't I? This time change has helped me immensely. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 11. He was asked about what he was doing and why he was doing it. And John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. And he's talking about the baptism of water, not this baptism of water, not this water. The water of repentance. That baptism of repentance is what John the Baptist was doing. Okay? So don't get those two mixed up. It's not, there's a baptism of repentance water, the watery grave, but then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that, it's not a separate baptism. It's just the overwhelming indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I and whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you. Here's this. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, there's a step in this whole pottery thing that we're skipping. The Holy Spirit, okay, so we've got the baptism of repentance, that's with this water, which is a great thing and is necessary and awesome. The most important aspect is it leads to that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It helps give that idea of the acceptance of Christ, and it makes it allowable for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, so we have that living water inside of us that makes us supple, okay? But then he says there's going to be a baptism of fire. Do you realize as long as I'm on this earth and have the Holy Spirit and being connected to God, even if we're not perfectly connected, God is able to apply us and mold us and make us. But there's going to be a point in time in our life that it's going to stop. This life here on earth is going to end, okay? I don't want to scare anyone or shock anyone, but it's going to happen for every one of you. And at that point in time, your masterpiece that God created is going to go through the fire. It's going to be put into the kiln of fire. Okay? Whatever He's created you to be, at the end, there's no more that you can do. Okay? And what you are and who you are is going to be put into fire. And you're thinking, no, wait a second, Eldon! No! Wait a second. When I accepted Jesus, you know, I'm avoiding the fire. You know, I don't have to get burned or hurt or anything like that. I'm avoiding the hellfire. I'm not talking about the hellfire that is for eternity, but in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, maybe 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. It is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says something really interesting that got me really thinking about this whole clay and pot and moldability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, by the grace, in verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful. Listen to what it says. Each one should be careful how he builds. And when he says how he builds, it's how you're being formed, how you're allowing God to form you and make you into that masterpiece. Each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work, listen to what's going on, his work will be shown for what it is. And what happens is so many times when we get off the track, when we get off that narrow line that God created for us, and we start trying to build our lives, we start trying to make our own masterpiece by bringing all this other stuff in besides the Holy Spirit guiding the direction and the provision of God, rather than we're trying to provide it on our own instead of relying on God for His provision. When we start doing that, we bring all this other junk onto God's perfect masterpiece. We start adding on to it, and it starts taking away the value that God has placed in it. And it says very clearly, look what it says. It says, His work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with what? With fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Remember the work that God prepared in advance for you to do? God's going to test the quality of your work, how closely you followed that plan. Now, we're going to mess up. I get that. I understand that. But you know what? It's no reason to do whatever you want, however you want, by whatever means you want. That what God wants us to do is live for His glory, by His power, for His purpose. And He can do that wherever we're at. You see, there's going to be a point in time that we're going to be put in the kiln of God. And the work of our life is going to be shown for what it really is. Look what it says. If what He has built survives, He will receive His reward. If it is burned up, He will suffer loss. He Himself will be saved. Hear that? God is faithful all the way through. He will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. See, God wants to mold and make this masterpiece to last for eternity. He wants to mold and make this in such a way that on the day that we meet our Maker, He can take a little water, put it on the side, and slap us all together to be the one masterpiece that God created us to be. Don't live your life trying to do it on your own. Don't live your life trying to figure out what your meaning is. Go to the Master Potter. Be immersed in the living water of His Holy Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Allow Him to be your guide and director. You won't be disappointed. It's hard, especially when He takes that clay and He goes, okay, this isn't a change of plan. This was a plan from the very beginning. We're going to reshape your life now. I'm going to take you from that divergent line, and I want you to come down back into my presence, what I'm calling you to be. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we've gotten so hard that He's got to crack us into a million pieces to get the water back in. Sometimes He has to soak us for a long time in His Word and in His presence. He is the Master Potter, and He loves you, and He wants to take you to where He's designed for you to be. That's our God, and that's who you are. That's who He created you to be, from the dust to the clay to the masterpiece that He designed you to be. So the decision here this morning is where you're at. Where are you really at? Are you living with the Holy Spirit? Have you been going down your line too long and you need to be cracked open a little bit? Do you need the Spirit of the Holy God to come in and make you moldable again? Are you a little crusty but not completely gone? Wherever you're at right now, you don't have to go backwards. You just need to turn to God. Right where you're at in your life right now, you just need to turn to Him. You need, and repent sounds so hard. It sounds like I'm doing something bad, and maybe you are doing something bad, but it's time not to turn this way or that way or try to go back or try to start making life right your own, trying to get yourself back on the right track like some New Year's resolution or some Lenten promise. You need to just turn to God. Just immerse yourself in His Word. Immerse yourself in His presence. Humble yourself in prayer. Allow him to be the first thing in your mind in the morning to affect every decision that you're making throughout the day. And the last one you praise before you shut your eyes. Live in him and walk in him. And see how your life begins to change in the Master's hands. So where are you at? What do you need to do? I love my new small group. I love my old small groups too, but I liked it. We got to meet Friday night, and I hope I'm not breaking out any confidence, but they gave me a suggestion. I'm going to throw it out here. Is that all right? They gave me a suggestion on Friday night. I liked it. Don't think I'm always going to take your suggestions or anything like that, but all right? But they made a suggestion to me Friday night that, yes, we've got an altar or steps, if you want to call them, that God calls us to. He calls us to lay our ego, our desires on the altar of him, to allow him to start molding us and making us. And they made a neat suggestion. They said, you know what, Eldon, sometimes I'm just scared. I don't want a whole bunch of people crowding around me or praying. But sometimes I just want to come to the altar by myself and just be humble before the Lord. Just to lay out my heart before him. You know what? I like that. And so they said, you know what? It'd be cool if we had three different places that we could come at the altar. Because right over here, in this section right here, is going to be the alone altar. If you just want to come to God, you just want to lay it before him. You want to lay your heart down. You want to have a conversation with him, because right now he's calling you to make a change and you're struggling with it. And you know the best thing that you can do right now is to take a step of faith. Not just a step in your mind, literally take a physical step, because sometimes where our bodies go, where we lead it, the rest of us will follow. So if you just need to come before God and lay your heart before him, this section right here is for you. No one's going to come up and talk to you. Because that's not what this section is for. It's just you and God. Right here in the middle. Right here. If you're struggling and you need help, you need someone to pray for you and with you and around you, a prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman will availeth much. If you need help, there are men and women in this church right now who love you and want to help. They want to come alongside you. Iron sharpens iron, and they want to pray with you. So if you'd like prayer, this section right here is for you. Come up, and someone will be along your side, and you will not be alone. Over here is for the dust. It's for those who need Jesus. Need an inpouring of the Holy Spirit into their lives so they can start becoming the masterpiece that God designed them to be. They need that living water. They need to repent. They need to call on the name of Jesus. And they need to allow him to come into their life and start on that narrow path that God designed them to be on. Here in this room today, we have all three needs. And God is able to meet each one of them. He's willing and he's waiting. Remember the shortest distance between two points? It's a straight line. Just turn to God. Let him start working. As he wants to. Wants to see that dust become clay, and that clay to be molded, and that mold to become a masterpiece, and that masterpiece to be added with the Holy Spirit's glue to his design plan for all of us. That's our God. That's how much he loves you. Let's stand as we sing.